Moses is the meekest man that ever lived, and that's by the testimony of God. 2 Chronicles 20:12, Jehoshaphat prays that glorious prayer. He's standing against an enemy that is going to devour him. He comes with his wife and his children, all the nation. He's the king, and everybody's looking at him and listening to him. And the king says, Lord, we don't have any strength. We don't know what to do. Our eyes are upon you. It's a wonderful prayer. It's a wonderful prayer because he confesses his need and his weakness, and God responds to honesty. Praise God. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Are you still okay? 1 Timothy chapter 2. Matt, I'm trying to get there, but you're there before me because you got an electronic Bible. And I have an old school Bible. One day maybe I'll have a notepad or something that I preach out of, but it won't last long because I have a bad habit of hitting things on the pulpit. And that's an expensive mistake. I preached at Brother Wilson's, and their whole pulpit face is a screen. And I just kept my hands in my pocket. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 8. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath or doubting. Everywhere. In church, on the street, in your home. If you pray outside a restaurant, fixing to leave somewhere, lift up your hands, he says. He said, I want you to pray everywhere, lifting up your hands. When you see a guy doing this, what do you think? You think somebody's got a gun in his belly or something. No, you think surrender. That's a universal sign of surrender. If you're a soldier or you're out on the street or you're in the house of God, it's a universal sign of surrender. And men are valued because of their strength. And so for men to lift their hands as a sign of surrender, that verse touches man. And that's exactly what Paul's doing. He's touching man in his area of strength. He's wanting you to humble yourself before God and say, I know my wife's looking, and I know my children are looking, and I know other folks are looking, and I look like a loser with my hands up in the air, like I'm giving up, but I've got a revelation. The world thinks this is foolish, but I believe this is the smartest thing you can do is to give up to God. Well, that's right. And that's exactly what Paul's doing. Paul is saying, if you're a man, I want you to lift those hands. Get those hands up. Now, first thing that happens, you start getting carnal. You start getting cold. You come in church. You don't lift your hands because now that old nature's coming out. And that old nature is prideful and vain and unresponsive. Praise God. You just need to pray through. But now the next verse touches the women. Verse 9. In like manner that women should adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness and sobriety. You know that word shamefacedness is a lot like that Old Testament Hebrew term that talks about the humility of God. It talks about holiness. There's a direct corollary here in spirit. What God is trying to communicate to a woman or to a young lady is that you should not be bold in looking at men in the eye. Now, that doesn't mean you should walk without confidence or that you, when you're having a conversation with somebody, looking at your shoes the whole time. It's simply that you need to be modest. And what's the world's response? Green and blue and red and look at me. Well, that's exactly. Hey! Did you notice me? I've got big red spots here and I've got bright red lips. Can you see me? Yeah, I can. I can see you real good. Yeah. You know, men don't like all that stuff. In any survey ever taken anywhere, anytime, heavy makeup is always associated with prostitution. Men like ladies with long hair and no makeup. And all the men, now men, you should be praising God right now. So the question is, For whom do women do all this stuff? If you ever thought it was for men, you're nuts. It's not. They do it for other women. But that's, oh, okay. So the message is for women to be humble and modest and not advertising things that are not for sale. So you'll have good godly clothes on, good sleeve length, good necks, good skirt lengths, not sprayed on. It's not what you cover, it's what you conceal. Because you can cover it and not conceal a thing. Am I being too plain here? Okay. So, but see, the conversation is humility, meekness, and modesty. And that's what Paul's trying to communicate in that first chapter of 1 Corinthians. And that's the nature of God. And God's trying to communicate that to his people. And if we walk like that, we just kill strife and competition and ego and variance and all those things that tend to undermine revival. We cut them off at the knees. Praise God. You know this from Sunday school. Luke chapter 14, verse 10. Jesus said, when you go to a party, where should you sit? Brother Cliff, sitting in the back, said, in the back. So that's why I'm sitting back here. But you're right. The man wins a donut. You're right. He said, sit at the back. Actually, he says, sit at the lowest seat. And then he says, when somebody comes in, what will they do? They'll ask you to come up to the head of the table. They'll exalt you. You don't just presumptuously take the good seat. But in all of this, and this is a broad, broad discussion throughout the scripture, the nature of God, the nature of God's desire for his people and his church. But in all of these parables and all these stories, you get this same teaching that you need to be humble. You need to walk in meekness, and you don't need to. And some people walk with defensiveness, and some people are so hungry for affirmation and approval, they have to get it in every human encounter. I've got to be better than you or overcome you. And if I can't, when you walk away, I tell other people bad things about you, and so I kind of overcome you that way. And all of that is really noxious to God and does irreparable damage to the church and hurts you and your being able to fulfill or actualize what God has called you to be or to do or to have in the kingdom of God. Are you okay? Yeah. Praise God. So this is not running and jumping and dancing tonight, but this is good. It's your old nature, it's your flesh that's seeking that affirmation. And if you didn't get affirmation as a little kid, you get real hungry for it, and it's a natural thing, and it's understandable, but you can't walk like that effectively in the body of Christ, because you'll always be trying to one-up someone else or to be better. Sad business. Church groups can't get together and play basketball without brothers getting heated on a basketball. Where did that come from? Where in the world does that come from? Would to God that all of our young ladies could walk together in harmony and unity, love one another and pray for one another, and when Fernando comes in, and he's just the most gorgeous man you ever saw in all your life, the girls say, oh, you take him. No, you can have him. No, you can have him. No, you deserve him. No. Is that unrealistic? Hey, you know, when a new guy comes to church, girls, give him 5 minutes to get the Holy Ghost. Give him a minute or two. Let us get him baptized. Maybe Stay away from him. Let the poor guy come live for God. He can't understand romance and God at the same time. He gets all starry-eyed and crazy, and he'll never serve God. You've got power. So, but God wants you to be humble and meek and not competitive. Is this just too idealistic? Could you have a church like this? Could you be people like this? Praise God. Praise God. Meekness is really just being relaxed in the hand of God and accepting his will and his purpose for your life. Lindsay, come give him some hope here. You know what humility does? What's symptomatic of humility? A prayer life. If you don't have a prayer life, you're just the most arrogant person in the whole world. Because you know what you think? You think you can do all this on your own. But if you're meek and humble, you get up in the morning thinking, I got a lot I need to do, and I've got a lot I need God to do for me, and I got to tell him about it today because I can't walk without him. I can't do this without God in my life. Praise God. You know what humility does? Let's stand together. Humility forgives. Humility forgives and releases. The old nature, Brother Travis, you know what the old nature does? The old nature uses an offense like power. You offended me, now I have power over you. And I'm not going to forgive you because you're in my debt. But that's not God's way. God says if you come and you ask, he'll forgive you of anything. So humility forgives and releases people. Praise God. So I know there's not a person in the house tonight that has a grudge against anybody. That's true, isn't it? You don't have a grudge against anybody. No hard feelings against anybody anywhere, because you've already laid them out on an altar somewhere. You know what humility does? Humility worships God and doesn't worry about what anybody thinks. Michael told David, you look like a fool today and embarrass me in front of all these people. And David said, I will be more vile than thus and more base in my own sight and will be held in honor of these handmaidens that you're talking about. Praise God. Praise God. You're a big, strong man, Kadarius. A big manly man. Now he's caught. He's going to try to be humble about it. Oh, no. No. Skinny and weak. That's me. Skinny and weak. No. You're a strong man. Hard-working man. That's right. And out there, they put a lot of emphasis and premium on being able to stare somebody down into the ground, on being strong, on not ever looking foolish. You can get hurt in the world by making somebody look foolish. We come in here and do it for free. You know what humility does? Humility worships God with all of its heart. David danced with all of his might before the Lord. Praise God. Because he just didn't care what anybody thought about him. So in this, Paul's showing us the remedy for all of this nitpicking, foolish strife in the church. He said, you need to walk with the same heart, love one another, and you need to understand that all of this that the world calls foolish, it's the power of God. And the way that you embrace that is to have a heart that's meek and humble and a desire to serve God no matter what the world thinks about it. I think holiness is beautiful. I think all of our ladies that are living a holiness lifestyle think they're beautiful. Yep. And for the men, true strength doesn't have to shout about itself. God is the strongest you're ever going to meet. And he said, I'm meek and I'm lowly in heart. Praise God. Why don't you come down with your families tonight? Let's come down around the altar. And I want you to just pray, God will let this mind be in us that was in Christ Jesus. Not worried about reputation. Not worried about vain glory. Just worried about pleasing God. And I know this is slow and sleepy tonight, but we're going to touch everything that Paul offers to Corinth. Praise God. Just pray a prayer. God, help me to walk in those things that are pleasing to you. Help me to serve you. Help me to please you. Help me to cause nobody to stumble. If you can get out of the way, God can move. Less of you. Mighty God. Come on, let's draw close to God. He's meek, he's lowly. Let's let that rub off on us. I want to be a house filled with love, grace, mercy, kindness. It's what we want. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Mighty God.